Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
I'd like to welcome up my guests here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. You might remember him from his great work on WBBM, The Score, WGN Radio, and also the acclaimed author of Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. It's legendary sports broadcaster, and what better guest to have on to talk about the big picture and the micro picture of the Chicago Bears is George Hoffman. Welcome, George. How are you?
It's funny. The last time somebody called me legendary, they were lying.
Oh, was it me?
I'm just kidding. Thank you for the intro. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're most welcome. And I'm so happy. This is honestly perfect timing. Some of the good people in Chicago might be listening to this on a Thursday or maybe even on a Saturday. We are recording this on a Tuesday. And it just so happens that Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, has been relieved of his duties. George, I just want to get your first impression thoughts on the Bears' decision, the timing, and maybe where do we go from here?
Well, it was not unexpected, but it's the tip of the iceberg because the Bears seemingly can change a lot of chairs on the Titanic, and it always seems to sink. It's really, people are saying, well, it's really Eberflus and it's Poles. It's not. It's George McCaskey is really where this comes from, because he limits the amount of money they can spend on a head coach. And what you do is you wind up limiting what you can get. So you got Eberflus, and of course they did a teardown, so I'm not going to blame them for the first year. Last year started poorly. They got Sweat, and then they played much better in the second half. And then, you know, here they get the number one pick in the draft is what every other team wanted, because if had Washington had the first pick in the draft, I was told they would take Williams. Instead, they got Daniels, and we could see how that's working out. The bottom line is, Poles didn't pick the right people, basically, to teach this kid how to play quarterback in the NFL, because he's still playing quarterback in college, and it shows. On top of that, Poles, who's done a pretty good job, I mean, he fleeced Carolina, and this is how he got Williams. The problem is that he didn't fortify an offensive line, which he claimed was good and it had the most depth. And it's pretty obvious when people went down, there wasn't the depth. And so Williams is running for his life, though part of the reason why he's running for his life is because of him and because of the fact that he holds on the ball too much. I know some people said, some of the experts apparently claimed that he, of the 9 sacks the other day, 6 were his fault. I didn't see it as 6. I saw it more like 3 or 4. But the bottom line is he's got to learn to be an NFL quarterback and not a college quarterback. What does the change here do? It's really the approach to him, not your game plan so much. That's not going to change all that much. It's how you approach him, Williams, how you teach him to become an NFL quarterback so that he doesn't hold the ball too long, so he doesn't run around like a chicken with his head cut off. He can't do that. They have to run the ball more. But I think it's going to make minimal difference, because at the end of this year, you're probably going to wind up with a new offensive coordinator and maybe a new head coach. But let's remember something. Eberflus actually has 2 more years left on his contract. And this regime, or maybe the ownership in George McCaskey, who I mentioned earlier, doesn't like to pay 2 years of his salary. He's only done it once, and that was with Trestman, who was a disaster, as we well know. So even if he did it, Joey, even if he said, we're letting this staff go and we're going clean, How much money do you think you can spend? Who are you going to spend it on? Because most of the coaches in this league have dictated they want their own general manager. It's working in reverse these days. It's the coach who picks the general manager. And you've got to pay these coaches sometimes eight figures. So right now, I don't like the way things are going with this situation at all. And forgive me for having my phone on. That's my fault, and I apologize for that.
It's okay. I didn't pick it up on the audio. George, you know, that's a great rundown of where we are. And it is so unfortunate, especially for Bears fans, with this particular last offseason, where I even started drinking the Kool-Aid and thinking that maybe the winds were changing in Chicago. Not just the Hard Knocks, but you actually did have the number one pick and you spent it on a quarterback. We don't know if he is going to be generational or whether he's going to be a Pro Bowler, but I think we all can agree that the kid has talent. And walking into this year, we had a general manager who was saying that he was interested in breaking the cycle. And now we are back in the cycle, George. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really just a real big knee jerk right now for Chicago Bears fans. And obviously the first, as you said, the first pebble to maybe fall before the dam breaks is Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator is out. And we got eight more games to play, and we got the Packers to play.
Well, not only that, but you have all the divisional opponents to play in Seattle and San Francisco. When after six games, you're thinking to yourself, they could wind up being 6-3 or 7-2 after these nine games. But then the debacle happened in Washington, and then another game is terrible in Arizona, and then this one is really the pits against New England. And so now you're thinking to yourself, will the Bears win another game this season? It's kind of like, well, I remember Mike Ditka saying, we might not win another game this year. He was right back then. I think it was 1991 or what, right before he got fired. Well, I don't see how they can win another game. Not unless they're able to do something in teaching Caleb Williams how to be a professional quarterback, not a college quarterback. And if I hear anybody say, sit him down for Tyson Bagent, please find the exit and leave fast. Okay. Tyson Bagent is a wonderful guy who's going to be a professional backup in his career. This is what you want to do. Keep Williams out there. But if a game gets out of hand, don't do what Matt Eberflus did the last 2 weeks, and that was keep him in the game, in a game that you couldn't win because he could have gotten himself injured. He got run over like by a freight train in the last game, and the one before that, if you recall, in Arizona, I think the last play of the game, he tweaked his ankle. I mean, they have to understand what they have here. He's got a high ceiling. He's a very talented quarterback, but he's got flaws. And they have to have somebody be able to correct those flaws.
Yeah, I would be willing to entertain that debate in July. The whole the conversation of sitting the rookie quarterback for a year to have him learn behind somebody and then come in. But the ketchup's out of the bottle on that, George.
Correct.
You can't sit him down at this point.
No. Not only that, but if you wanted to really work this right, you want to bring in a veteran quarterback, not Tyson Bagent, to be his backup. You want somebody right there with a lot of experience who can help him along the way. It's just, and you're right, they're in that cycle again. And it's a place that they don't want to be in. They were just in that cycle with Justin Fields. And if you recall, Justin Fields had the same problem. He held the ball too long. The difference is he had legs to get out of it. Williams isn't that kind of quarterback. He can maneuver out of the pocket, but he's not going to run wild. They just have to do some more run plays. Albeit, remember, with Swift, you can't run him a lot because he's not that kind of durable back. If he carries the ball 20 times, that might be too many in a game. So if you're going to run the ball, and you can run the ball 30 times in a game or even more than that, you're going to have to use Roschon Johnson as well, a lot more. So, I mean, I mean, it's ugly. How else can you put it? After you see a game like that, against New England at home, you have to ask yourself, how in the world is this team going to win another game? It all comes down to one person. That's the quarterback. That's the franchise. That's the guy they pick to take him to the next level. Unfortunately, the people who are teaching him or the people who are surrounding him with talent haven't done a very good job. I remember when the offseason, here you have top receivers, right? You got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, you've got Roma Dunze, you've got Cole Kmet, who, by the way, is a rumor. He's a rumor now. He's officially a rumor. Well, guess what? He can't throw to them because either they're not getting open or he's taking too much time to get to them. Plus, teams are very smart. We've seen this already. They are bull rushing him a lot. They are pressuring him a lot because they know he doesn't know what to do with the ball once he gets pressured. So, I mean, I'm running out of not excuses, but real reasons as to why the Bears are in the position they're in. However, that said, there were three games, albeit against lesser opponents, in which he looked pretty good, which tells you he does have a ceiling. Joey, he has a ceiling. It's that, you know, somebody's got to take him from the basement to the first floor to the second floor to the third floor. And I don't know if they have that person right now.
Yeah, the other question I was having was how low can it go, especially if we are in the basement, especially in the
NFC. Oh, you're in the basement. Look, if you want to, if you really want to throw your life away, you can jump out a basement window. But it's this is you are in the basement. You're not only in the basement at the moment, you're where they built the basement, crying out loud. You can't get lower than this. You can't get lower than losing to New England and scoring only 3 points.
Yeah, digging underneath for the water pipes. We're talking to George Offman here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. If I can, George, I'm hoping you could provide some historical context and maybe answer this question for me, where I think a lot of present-day Bears fans, especially on social media right now, are falling along the lines of perhaps the Chicago Bears aren't misunderstood. I think that they are misunderstanding the Chicago Bears. And when we talk about that cycle, I would like to begin with the top-down aspect of it. So let's go back to George, if we can, for a moment. And please color in and add some context if I'm off base. From my understanding historically, you know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, they never had a general manager. Jerry Angelo came in, had a 12-year run that led to a certain amount of success, success that the Chicago Bears said that they were going to push forward and even go higher. We expect more with this organization. And it seems like ever since, a lot of their football decisions, George McCaskey famously said, "I'm just a fan, not a football evaluator." A lot of their football decisions seem to come from outside elements and outside sources, from Ernie Accorsi and so on. I want to ask you a little bit about what you think the effect of Trace Armstrong is having on this organization right now. A guy that they maybe talked about as a football operations guy. He is an agent who has many clients throughout the NFL. And as we've seen, follow the breadcrumbs, Ryan Poles is a client of Trace Armstrong, Shane Waldron, Luke Getsy, Matt Eberflus, and so on. So when you talk about the opportunity to make decisions and Ryan Poles making choices in the future, is that relationship perhaps leveraged or baked into the pie a little bit of what we can expect moving forward from the Chicago Bears? And does that also perhaps limit them? Are they casting all nets, George? Are they turning over every stone to try and get better as a franchise? Or is there part of it that goes into that from a business relationship standpoint?
They didn't do it for a number of years until Poles came in. And, you know, when Poles was here and he picked Eberflus, the problem you have to ask is there kind of that funky conflict of interest that involves Trace Armstrong, who, you know, he's the agent for all of these people. And you're wondering, what's going on here? You just had Luke Getsy. He was fired after 1 year, fired after, what, 7 games by the Raiders? You bring in Waldron. He's fired after 9 games. These are Trace Armstrong people? Maybe you want to get away from Trace Armstrong some way, somehow. The only way you're going to do that is by getting people he doesn't represent. I like the structure of what was taking place. I liked what Ryan Poles was doing. I liked the move. Some of the moves he's made have been very good, very good. He's made a couple of mistakes, but he's done a pretty good job with one major exception. And that is when you go out and you draft the number one quarterback in the class, albeit he certainly isn't now. Some people disagree, but most of them felt that Caleb Williams is number one. You have to make damn sure that he is well protected by a strong offensive line that doesn't include Tevin Jenkins, who gets injured walking, period. And he got injured again. How many is that? 5 straight weeks? I think the next question is, during the Packers game, at what quarter will he be injured? You need, and this is what he didn't do, was go out and use the free agent market for offensive linemen. I understood the Roma Dunze pick in that you were going to have Keenan Allen basically for 1 year. Now, if you're looking ahead, and Ryan Poles is still your general manager, what do you want to do in the next draft? Remember, you got Carolina's first pick, and the way things are going, you're going to have your own high pick. You want to pick an offensive lineman with your first pick, an offensive lineman with your second pick, and then you want to go into the free agent market and draft two more offensive linemen, or rather sign two more offensive linemen. That's what you want to do. That's what you need to do. You need to protect the biggest asset that you have. So, I mean, I don't really know the connection of Trace Armstrong in that, what its effect is. Obviously, we've already seen some of that because people are getting fired left and right. I think a lot of people are looking at this today and wondering, why is Matt Eberflus still the head coach? Decisions that have been made are poor. His answers are really poor. He doesn't react quickly enough, and particularly with Stevenson, when a lot of people thought, hey, if you're going to do something, you know, whether you suspend him or keep him out for the start of the game against Arizona, why did you wait so long? And even yesterday, you got the sense, if you were reading between the lines, by yesterday, I mean on Monday, that he was going to make some kind of change at the offensive coordinator, whether they're going to sit Waldron or to basically fire him, which they did. Why don't you just do it right away? What's taking you so long? The appearance of the Bears right now, not just on the field, but off the field, is brutal. Albeit it can never be as brutal as the Dave McGinnis disaster of a number of years ago. That'll go down in all-time history as the worst thing I've ever seen. But these are the Bears, and they just keep crawling back into that same hole. Just when you think they've crawled out, they see it, and they fall in.
The only reason why I mention the Trace Armstrong thing is as we follow the breadcrumbs, where I do, I'm in agreement with you that I think the conclusion of this, whether it's in midseason, whether it's the end of the season, is Matt Eberflus is going to be relieved of his duties, and we're going to be searching for a new head coach. A lot of people in town love the new offensive flavor of the month or the year. It's Ben Johnson, who is his agent. It's Trace Armstrong, and he apparently wants $15 million, which makes suddenly think that the Chicago Bears might might be getting leveraged in a situation that scares me a little bit, George, when there are guys like capable professional head coaches like Mike Vrabel, and I'm going to say his name, Voldemort, Bill Belichick, that at least deserve a consideration and an interview. I'm not advocating that they are the right people for the job, but chasing after the hot new name, I have concern with that when we're talking about cycles and getting out of them and trying to do things different and getting serious about winning football games.
It's about money. Oh, listen, Ben Johnson is making a lot of money as the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. I think they've done fairly well, don't you? The bottom line is, yes, he's going to demand eight figures. The Bears, I don't think, are going to pay eight figures, especially since they're paying whatever they're paying Matt Eberflus for this year, next year, and the year after. So unless, and then you've got the stadium issue, which I really don't want to get into because that's also a gigantic mess. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to play in this league and win, then you have to pay, not players, but the top coaches to come in here and do the job, and particularly when it comes to the most important guy, Caleb Williams. Right now, I don't see them competing for those people. I don't see that happening. Thus far, look at the coaches that they've picked. Other than Matt Nagy, who had that spectacular 1 year and then the double doink, it's just not worked. Lovie Smith has been the last successful coach. At least he took his team to a Super Bowl, and that worked out for them for that period of time. It's just been awful. And again, I don't see anything that's going to change right now. It's so funny. How often can the Titanic keep hitting an iceberg?
And we're at a point, George, where we're actually saying, how can we recreate what the Detroit Lions have done. Because even when you mentioned Ben Johnson, look at their offensive line. And I was looking it up the other day. I know we want to erase Matt Ryan Pace from the memory of all Bears history. But if you look at that team in 2018 with Matt Nagy, his offensive line was Charles Leno, fifth-round pick, James Daniels, second-round pick, Cody Whitehair, second-round pick, Kyle Long, inherited but Pro Bowl player, and then Bobby Massie, free agent pick. And you look at now year three of where Ryan Poles is, and I completely agree with you. Who are we keeping on this offensive line next year outside of maybe Darnell Wright?
Oh, I don't think you'd want to keep Darnell Wright. I don't think he wants to play. I think this is a complete overhaul. You want five new starters or try. Listen, you can't take people off the scrap heap. We saw that the Bears didn't make a trade for that in the when the deadline came because those players aren't really available. Like I said before, in the offseason, you're going to need to use the capital that you have. And I'm talking about the draft capital, and it's going to be pretty high since, like I said, you got Carolina's pick and the Bears pick. These are both going to be top 10 picks. You're going to have to do something with your offensive line. That's number one. Everything else is second. Offensive line is one. The question now will become, who's going to make those selections? My guess for now is it's going to be Ryan Poles. The other question is, will the Bears, will George McCaskey, will Kevin Warren, I'm not sure where he fits in this whole thing, look at this and say, wait a second, we have to pay Matt Eberflus for two more years? Let's keep him. If this season ends up 4-13 or 5-12 or 6-11, you can't keep him. You know, you can't keep him. You have to get rid of him.
Just a couple more here for George Offman here on WLS AM 890. You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. Make sure you hop on Amazon too as well and check out his fantastic book, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. Think of your favorite voices in not just sports, but in Chicago sports. And I guarantee you there are behind the scenes stories that you wouldn't believe in George's book, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know.
It's so funny. Yeah. November 14th, it's 1 year since the book came out. It's just a very fast year. Book has done fairly well. And yes, I appreciate that. It is a fun book. It's a fun book to read, and it's to write. It's a fun book to read if you go out and get it, because there are 50 vignettes of some very, very interesting people that most sports fans would recognize.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And it's stocking stuffer season right around the corner. You got Thanksgiving coming up. You got Christmas. I'm a Capricorn. It's a birthday coming up for me too as well. So anyone out there, I honestly cannot recommend it enough. I want to get a little bit more into the here and now before I get you out of here. I want to talk a little bit about kind of weaving in what this looks like with Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams still tethered to each other at this particular time. Just to be very clear, George, I've seen you on socials recently. You would advocate for dismissing Matt Eberflus mid-season, correct? At some point, Thanksgiving, whatever. It should have happened already. It hasn't. But in your opinion, should the Chicago Bears consider that?
Well, I'm usually the type of guy who doesn't do that. A lot of people right away, doesn't matter if it's the Cubs, the Sox, whatever, fire the manager or the one that I hate the most, sell the team. Okay, with the cask, sell the team. He's not selling the team. Please don't say sell the team. Jerry Reinsdorf, you can say that. He might wind up selling the team, and they may wind up going to Nashville.
Or Michael. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I just looked at what was going on, and you look at the results, and you look at the way things have been handled, and you say to yourself, other teams have gone out and seen this happen and said, that's enough. And in this case, after the last game, you had to say to yourself, this is enough. I mean, that's when you've gotten to this point, forget about if you get blown out by a team 50 to whatever, but if you lose to the lowly New England Patriots and you can't score a touchdown, and they haven't scored a touchdown now in what, since London or something? I don't know what it is, or it's been brutal. You know what you got to do? You have to dismiss the coach. I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know if, you know, they don't dismiss coaches in midseason. That's another thing. Jerry Reinsdorf never dismissed anybody in midseason until last year when he dismissed Rick Hahn and Ken Williams. He did it. He actually did it. McCaskey and Kevin Warren, whatever, they have to look at this picture and say to themselves, this guy, it's not working. Now, that said, you'd only be bringing in an interim guy from your staff to take over. They may just say, we're going to sit it out till the end of the year and then fire him. I could understand that possibility because, you know, what is a new coach going to do now anyhow? You're not going to bring in somebody from the outside. You already have this game plan set. You just can't bring in somebody from the outside like you could do in Major League Baseball. It's such an intricate game. So as much as I said that, you also have to realize it's probably, if it happens, and it should, it probably won't happen until the end of the season.
Final one for you here, George, on Sports Talk Chicago. I want to ask you a little bit about Caleb Williams. And my final question here, this isn't so much of, is he good now? Will he be good tomorrow? I'm honestly thinking about this from a big picture perspective. And this was a tall tale growing up that personally I didn't really believe in, but I'm starting to believe in it now. The question of, can the Chicago Bears ruin a player like Caleb Williams? I've seen the falling out with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. I've seen the transfer from Nagy to Eberflus with Justin Fields. A lot of people are trying to surmise that, you know, they're maybe trying to coach the talent out of the kid by telling him, don't make a mistake. Don't throw an interception. Don't let it rip. Just play vanilla complimentary football, but play like Andy Dalton. Don't play like Caleb Williams. Are you in the belief that a team like the Chicago Bears can ruin a player like Caleb Williams? Is that something that is a consideration or even a fear in your mind at this time?
Who was it? Was it Mujer Muhammad who said that quarterbacks
come to die? Yes.
No, if I'm Thomas Brown who's taking over now as the offensive coordinator, I would do exactly what you just said. Don't worry about the interceptions. Let it rip. It's okay. That's how you learn to succeed sometimes, is by failing. So let's allow him to throw. You look, he's the worst in the league at throwing the deep ball. It's amazing. You could see that in college. He was able to throw the ball well and deep. Here he's overthrowing by 10 to 15 yards. Make a game plan where you're allowing your quarterback to throw the football. And if he gets intercepted, he gets intercepted. That's one way to learn. But yes, I would say, hey, if that's part of your game plan, Thomas Brown, let him do that. Let him learn that hard way. Not getting crushed by the offensive line that he doesn't have, but to let him show some more of his talents. He has a lot of talent. The guy has a tremendous amount of talent. Right now, the Bears are ruining that talent. And that's very unfortunate for him. And it's very unfortunate for the Bears fans who have suffered way too long.
George, I appreciate you coming on the show so very much. Just before we get out of here again, one last plug for Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. It's always great to see you, my friend. I owe you a dinner or a lunch in the near future. I hope to have that soon. And thank you for joining Sports Talk Chicago here on WLS AM 890.
My pleasure, Joey. Anytime.
Injured in an accident? That's no game, but you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.